What's going on in Afghanistan is pretty ugly. Taliban forces have made a broad comeback. Casualties are way up for the U.S. and its allies. The challenge is immense, not just to win battles, but also to win over villagers to forge a stable peace. Bill Gentile filed this report from the front lines in southern Afghanistan.
Okay, I'm looking for air on target one.
Okay, I'm going to make this the truck. I'm going to put a 500-pound airburst over the truck.
The 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit has come to a tough neighborhood, territory controlled by the Taliban near the border with Pakistan.
Okay, so you're going to let me run first pass and second pass before you do artillery?
And Artie. Before we got Artie and 60s.
Okay, roger.
So you got that whole minute and a half free.
Sweet, I'll take it.
Okay.
31-year-old Captain Sean Dynan commands Alpha Company. The months that the Marines are spending here are part of a broad strategy to retake control of the area along the Afghan-Pakistan border, where Taliban and Al-Qaeda insurgents have dug in. Dynan and his men use pinpoint accuracy, targeting the enemy.
Right now, sir, we identified the enemy is doing their resupply. We've been tracking on this for a couple days. We've actually had eyes on. We have eyes on the weapon systems, on the ammo. So we're going to hit both the ammo truck that they're doing the resupply from, and we're going to hit the compounds that they're moving to right now.
There is some confusion about the exact location of the enemy. The Marines are concerned about killing civilians, and the airstrike is canceled. The mission of the Marines represents a new strategy aimed at winning Afghan hearts and minds. For nearly 3 weeks, I followed the Marines on the front lines of what has been called the real war on terror. Their goal, to push the Taliban back and destroy its fixed positions, and just as important, to win the support of the villagers and get the economy restarted. There's a question here. Can these seasoned fighters also play the role of peacemakers and win the trust of the local population?
Machine guns will be at that corner over there.
The Marines are operating in one of the richest agricultural regions of Afghanistan. The Helmand River Valley has become a key route for Taliban fighters, weapons, and materiel flowing further north into Afghanistan, and for opium flowing south from this region into Pakistan. This is the opium capital of the world, and it's opium that helps fund the insurgents' fight.
What's up, Lieutenant?
All right, and the village that we can see directly to our east, you see the long wall that's on the east side of our compound across the poppy field to the right.
Second Lieutenant Sean Miller works under Captain Dynan. Miller commands Alpha Company's 2nd Platoon.
My Western Post sighted a white pickup truck break.
Miller gets word on the insurgents and moves his men into position to take them on.
We have Marines in 59, 54, 55 over.
Taliban insurgents seized this area from the Afghan government about 2 years ago. Back in April when the Marines arrived, the civilians had already fled to the desert because they knew a fight was coming. In May, as the Marines advanced, the Taliban put up ferocious resistance. But a relentless Marine offensive pushed the Americans deep into the valley. This area now is a free fire zone. Anyone still here is a suspected Taliban fighter and may become a target. Miller gets word that a nearby squad of Marines is taking fire.
They're engaged by RPG shot and small arms fire break.
I move up with Staff Sergeant Stephen Vallejo. Vallejo is a Kickapoo Indian from Kansas City. This is Vallejo's 2nd deployment. His first was to Iraq.
Apache 2, this is Lightning.
Send it, Lightning, Apache 2.
Roger, be advised, myself and Comanche are moving to that complex just north of Comanche's old paws, over.
We meet the snipers lugging a long-range 50 caliber rifle. We make our way past fields of poppies and immediately take enemy fire.
Is that incoming, sir?
Yes, it is. That's incoming.
The Marines respond with artillery and with the sniper rifle.
Hey, stand, sir. We got a tractor moving what appears to be mortar tubes at 3998 mils, 950 yards.
Yeah, I got it.
You done, sir?
Hey, one man KIA along the canal, and he's possible KIA as well.
It's a deadly guerrilla war that goes on day and night.
Hey, get back! What the heck are you doing down there?
The next morning, the Marines spot insurgents moving in on their position from this compound. Miller requests air and artillery support.
Black Knight 6, this is Apache 2.
This is Miller's first deployment, which makes him a rookie. The 24-year-old is from Austin, Texas. He coordinates the 40-plus Marines in his platoon, as well as the air and artillery assault. Huey and Cobra helicopters initiate the attack. That's the sound of rapid-fire machine guns strafing enemy positions. Miller must be sure that neither the artillery nor his Marines on the ground accidentally hit the helicopters overhead. Timing is critical.
I'll tell you when to shoot, all right? 3 minutes! 3 minutes!
Rockets from the helicopters set the fields ablaze. The helicopters pull back, and Miller orders ground fire.
Hey, we got it. Fire! Get the tree line. Along the tree line! Forty seconds till air comes back around! Get ready to cease fire! Alright, reverse to the left, reverse to the left! Right there! Got 10 now! Alright, cease fire!
Hey, cease fire! Cease fire!
Alright, now it's just, if we see a move, we can kill him. That first shot they did, that place went up in flames. I don't know if it was just because it's dry or they had something down there.
And finally, more artillery.
Oh!
I think they're pissed. What do you think?
I think they're dead. We started a blaze all along that tree line for about 200 meters. If there's anybody hiding in the tree line, they're either out because of the fire or they're dead because of the fire is an explosion. So for our purpose, that was a good day.
The Marines now are in sight of the Amir Aga village and bazaar, the nucleus of insurgent activity.
I don't think the Humvee can get across this.
But before moving in, Alpha Company must first clear the surrounding area.
Don't move without a guardian angel. All right, all the time. Make sure someone's covering your six. Okay? It's going to be amazing there. If you can, peek over a wall before you enter in from an unexpected direction, do that as well.
If it's okay with you, if we find ourselves right up against a bunker and there's any suspicion, even if it's not firing, we're going to throw a grenade in it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Like fires is channel one.
Yeah, that's right.
The temperature rises to about 120 degrees.
Hey, hurry up, filter to the right. Hey, probably leave a team over here, and then we'll go across to the next one. We just got to check if we can move across this way or back behind this building. All this has been cleared?
Everything behind has been cleared.
Okay, everything's behind me.
The Marines find a bunker that had been used to ambush one of their patrols just days before. One Marine was killed here.
Hey, Roger, we're putting a green chem light.
These Marines prepare to blow it up.
This is a snake, a compound, a lot of locks. You can't get over unless you cross down a road, which we don't want to do. So it's just going to be slow. And so far, no resistance, no sighting of booby traps or anything.
Neither resistance nor civilians. The streets are deserted as the Marines continue their sweep.
Hey, Mike.
There may be no resistance, but that doesn't mean there's no danger.
There's a gun in the window right now. On the second story, over.
Hi, Roger that.
Matt and Tanner, you want to hold right here?
Whoa. What's that right there?
Oh, you mean the f***ing arty shell that's sitting right there?
Yeah.
The Marines are too pressed for time to determine whether this artillery round simply failed to explode or was wired to kill them.
All right, we'll get our machine gun up here, and then we'll just, that'll be our furthest where we go, and we'll hold here. We'll push across. What's going on is we've cleared almost half the village already. We're just getting a machine gun in this little tower up here, the only two-story structure in Afghanistan that we can see deep. This squad's going to hold here because we got pretty clear field of fire for at least 100 meters.
Captain Sean Dinan has set up a command post on the edge of the Amir Aga village and bazaar.
They're going to be able to see us real good when the sun comes up.
This sprawling bazaar is the prize of the operation, and the Marines move out to the village that surrounds it.
Apache COC, Apache 3.
On the right, fields of wheat. On the left, fields of dried poppies. This is the yin and yang of the Afghan farmer's existence. Opium yields more profit than wheat, but it's illegal here. The Taliban has forced many farmers to cultivate opium so they can finance their insurgency. These poppies have been harvested. Farmers make slash marks on the bulbs, which ooze a gooey sap. That substance is opium. 5 years ago, U.S. policy was to destroy these fields. Villagers were enraged. Now the Marines leave the fields intact. They need the goodwill of the local population. Everywhere the troops go, they find evidence that the villagers left in a tremendous hurry. Like this baby's crib, still with a mattress and blanket. And this tool used to collect the opium from poppy bulbs. Bicycles, dishes, and houseware, like this strainer, apparently donated by the United States. There's a break in the fighting, and the Marines fall into the routine of life in the field. It's now safe enough to send a truckload of supplies to Dynan's forward command post, including much-needed water for the 200 Marines in Alpha Company. They are among the toughest of the American military. There's a mystique about the Marines, a tradition of achieving more with less and taking on the most dangerous adversaries.
Know ye that you're posing special trust and confidence in the fidelity and abilities of Philip M. Pepper. I do appoint this Marine a corporal in the United States Marine Corps.
Today, Captain Dynan promotes one of his men in a ceremony right on the battlefield.
Thank you, sir. Just like that.
Sorry, Wagon.
No, no. Hey.
I once was lost.
These men have become family, bonded by one of the most formative experiences of their young lives. In early morning light, I move out with 4th Platoon to clear the bazaar. It's the last step of the military operation before they can start making peace. And it could be the most dangerous. The Taliban have controlled this bazaar for 2 years, and they've had plenty of time to set up defensive positions and to wire it with traps and explosives. The Marines are covered by attack helicopters. The streets are empty, and it's slow going. One Marine uses a metal detector for improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, that are so infamous and so deadly in Iraq. Now, insurgents are using them here. The Marines move door to door, blowing the locks off stalls. Captain Dynan oversees the operation. For Sean Dynan, commanding a company of Marines is a dream come true. Dynan is fourth-generation military of his Irish family, which claims 4 Purple Hearts since World War II. He was raised just outside of Boston and graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis, Maryland. Dynan's been a Marine for 10 years. This is his 4th deployment, the most recent in Ramadi, Iraq, so he knows something about rough neighborhoods.
Got something that could be... could be nothing, but don't want to take the chance.
Lieutenant Jack Trepto and 4th Platoon come across a padlocked freezer.
Right there we have an industrial-sized refrigerator that has 2 sets of wires running out of it.
He suspects the red flag just across the street signifies a trap. Like Dynan, Trepto and many of these Marines already have served in Iraq, and they know how deadly these innocent-looking things can be. They use a remote-controlled robot to examine the freezer close up and explosives to blow the lock and chain off the freezer door. This time, it's only soft drinks.
Harmless.
Alright. Take a look.
The platoon takes a smoke break, and Lieutenant Trepto brings them up to date.
Now, I know we're not finding a lot on the way up, but believe me, this clearance is going to get a ton of out of the bazaar.
And it does. mortars already wired as roadside bombs, rocket-propelled grenades, ammunition and weapons. The bazaar is clear. The combat part of the mission has been accomplished. But what comes next is just as tough. The Marines need to win the trust of the locals who have been living in a battle zone for years. They reach out to civilians who had taken refuge in the nearby desert. Still warriors, the Marines now are diplomats. Exiled during the fighting, the civilians are eager to return home. But not all the civilians are happy. Saeed Gould, a farmer, tells the Marines his home has been damaged by American bombs and artillery.
I apologize for my Marines.
Saeed urges the Marines to come to his home and see the damage and asks them to pay for it.
Do you need anything right now that we can help you with?
All of these men want something. This man says a wound on his son's chest is infected and the boy needs help. Others ask the Marines for help with irrigation.
How many gallons of oil we can give him?
Tell him 8.
The Marines decide to hand over diesel, which fuels the water pumps. The men said they had not used the pumps and their crops had not been watered during the past 40 days because they had evacuated the area. Saeed Gould is here to press his case for help. He's a respected landowner, 38 years old, married, with 12 children. He says his house is just across the canal. He cultivates wheat and poppies and has a small clothing shop in the bazaar. He offers up this bag of opium in return for help. The Marines decline his offer.
All 6 rooms, they collapsed.
Saeed is not optimistic that he will get help, and his words indicate how difficult the Marines' mission will be. A civilian interpreter translates his comments.
American came here telling us that they're going to help us, they're going to build things, but these are all tricks, the same tricks that Russian played. They came as a friend telling us that they're going to help us. But then they start killing us, murdering people around. So basically we don't trust them anymore, the foreigners.
Saeed Gould speaks for many of the villagers caught in the middle of a war that never seems to end.
We are the people in the middle. And what we do is we try to just follow the religion of Islam, live our life.
Alpha Company's compound is now a small fortress, protected against attack and suicide bombers. 4 days after our encounter at the canal, Saeed Gould meets at the command post with civil affairs officers. He wants money for the damage to his home.
Well, what does he think it would cost to rebuild that house?
No, it's not something. I just told you what it cost me.
Tell him, unfortunately, I don't have all the money. I don't have money with me enough to pay for this type of damage.
Saeed Gould won't get any money today. The Marines must win the trust of the villagers, but they must also overcome their fear. These villagers lead the Marines to a dead man whose throat was slit, they said, by the Taliban. They say it's a warning not to cooperate with the Americans. They buried him where they found him. That same night, Captain Dynan coaches his Marines on how their mission has changed.
In the last 24 to 48 hours, our area has changed significantly. It's gone from us taking fire on a morning and evening basis to zero contact and locals flooding back into the area.
It's a different kind of battle now.
We have locals in the area. It's going to be a little bit tougher now, all right? You treating a human being like a human being is going to make a huge difference.
Dynan hosts a shura, or meeting of local elders. He understands the importance of these traditional gatherings, and he wants to forge ties with the locals as soon as possible.
We throw a party, it's all out. You know, we don't go halfway.
Because this area was occupied by the Taliban, this is the first shura these men have attended in 3 years. This is what the Marines call the center of gravity. These are the hearts and minds that must be won to defeat the Taliban. The Marines describe their strategy as clear, hold, and build. But without the support of the villagers, there can be no hold, and there can be no build. In attendance are the district governor and chief of police. And not surprisingly, Saeed Ghul.
I'm honored to be sitting amongst you right now. I know that myself and my Marines are just another face after 30 years of different people coming through this area. But what I've told my Marines is that the question that they have to answer to you all is that how are we different? I know that all of you just want to live your lives and that you don't want us to interfere with what you're doing on a daily basis. And it is our intention to help and to protect you.
The day after the Shura, civilians return en masse to their homes and their livelihoods. Shepherds return with their livestock to the canals. Shop owners return to the bazaar. And the police reestablish a presence for the first time in 2 years. And you know things have changed when the kids show up. I give these little guys a look at themselves through my camera's viewing screen. It's peaceful here now, but Dinan understands that this is merely the end of the beginning. During the last days of my visit, Captain Dinan took me to Saeed Ghul's compound. That's it in the background.
Wait for them to come up to us. We have to be invited in.
It's surrounded by poppies and marijuana plants.
Assalamu alaikum.
Saeed apparently has been napping. Even the locals have trouble with the afternoon heat.
I understand that there was some damage to your compound.
Dinan gets a first-hand look at damage caused to Saeed Ghul's house during the Marines' battles with the Taliban. About a month after this encounter, I got word that the Marines had paid Saeed Ghul half the money he wanted to repair his home, and the rest was on its way. These Marines may yet win over Saeed Ghul and the other locals here, but there have been setbacks in other parts of the country. The 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit has made headway in this valley, but to expand these efforts across Afghanistan will be a major challenge for America's next president. As for these Marines, their tour of duty has just been extended until November.
Gentile was embedded for nearly 3 weeks in Afghanistan. You can read his behind-the-scenes journal, as well as see some of the vivid photographs that he took while he was there. It's all on our website. Connect to Now online at pbs.org. What has the Now team been up to in your neighborhood? Use our interactive map to watch recent investigations in your home state or anywhere in the country. Connect to Now at pbs.org. On the next edition of Now, seniors are worried that health care reform might mean some kind of rationing in care for the elderly. Come spend some time with the people who are at the center of that debate.
If it cannot be cured, and you determine that it cannot be cured, and your second opinion it cannot be cured, then I say, forget it. Let me go.
I'm David Brancaccio, and that's it for Now.